Oh, say can see.
If you're an American and you're professing to be a Christian, well, of course, as American citizens, what we want is accountable leadership. Why don't we throw in a constitution so they know what's in that? Get engaged in the political process.
Honest.
You, my friend, are part of the problem and not the solution.
Compassionate.
The church needs to rise. Rise.
Monica Matthews Show.
Welcome back to the Monica Matthews Show. Happy Greek Independence Day. For those of you who are my fellow Greeks, March 25th, Greek Independence Day. There, you learned something new. Hope you guys are doing well. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Top of the week to you. Coming up on another spring month. And I have some really cool things to share with you. So, I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to pour into your week at the top of the week or at the bottom of the week. I would appreciate your feedback. Fridays are kind of an interesting day. It's whenever news that people don't want you to pay attention to, particularly in the realm of politics. Most news breaks on Friday so that you are not paying attention to it. But I also thought, might be a good day to just kind of recap and shake off the week, give you some encouragement on Fridays as you're going into the weekend to remind you how important it is to actually shake things off and prepare yourself for some family time, some fun time, personal time, you time, right? Things that are really important to your Creator, such as rest, right? Rest is very important. The Sabbath, a Sabbath day, whether that's on the weekend, which most of you do celebrate on the weekend, or it's a day during the week, but it is important to take some time to yourself to completely unplug and unplug. Speaking of unplug, I have 1,000% unplugged from Twitter, formerly known as X. Ooh, whoa. Formerly known as X. Sorry, little technical my difficulty there. My computer's throwing things at me, so interesting. But some of you have DM'd me. Thank you so much for your concern. I'm fine, actually. I'm better than I probably have been in years. And you are welcome to keep up with me on my website at monicamatthews.com. You can sign up for my newsletters and keep up with me there. I do not inundate your inbox with a bunch of material, but I have 1,000% dedicated my time and my efforts to not only bettering myself as an individual, but also ensuring that I have the capacity that I need to move forward with a lift that I've been working on for coming up now. Well, for years, to be quite honest with you, as the ministry goes, but in terms of our own network, that's been going on for about 6 months. So a lot of exciting things happening on that front. And to be honest with you, some of you are like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And we miss you. And that's all. I love, you know, I've had to pop on DMs to pick up some work from people, work material that they've sent my way. Other than that, I'm not checking my DMs unless I have to on Twitter. My account is still functional. I will eventually return to use that account for exactly what it needs to be utilized for, but it will not be to engage in the minute to minute, second to second, hour, moment to moment craziness of just all of the echo chambers of politics and division, strife, anger, wrath, bitterness, murder with the tongue, all the things that really honestly do not bring glory to our Creator, nor do they bring us life. And I'll just speak for myself, does not bring life to me. So with that, speaking of reclaiming territory and time, my little screensaver on my iPhone tells me, much like probably yours if you've updated your operating system, tells me that my screen time last week alone, after removing X from my phone and to honor the commitment that I've made to myself to get back to myself and to get back to the work that is ultimately going to bring the kingdom honor and glory and me life and you life and others. Yeah, getting back to the things that I do have control over, that the Lord has, excuse me, has blessed me in order to pursue and to really kind of dominate, if you will, in a respective field. So 67% downturn in my respective screen time. 67% less amount of time spent on my screen. 67%. Okay. And I translate that to I get 67% of my life back. Whatever I was spending on Twitter to the extent of 67% of my attention, my energy, my joy, my peace, things that, you know, we willingly give over when we spend all that time on that platform or any others. Some of you are addicted to Facebook. It could be Instagram, any number of things, right? Maybe it's your private chat groups, the groups that I can never convince you are honestly not private, like Discord, you know, but excuse me, wherever it is you're hanging out digitally, really pay attention to the amount of time that it is taking from you. And it's like basically like putting a skull cap on that is like a psychic vampire. It sucks your energy, your brain capacity. I'm not even kidding. You know, literally what I've done with 67% of that time is I'm going to share a couple of secrets with you. Okay. I have, my prayer time has increased exponentially. And not only, and y'all know if you've listened to me for any length of time, when I pray, I don't kid around with that. And I'm declaring, I'm decreeing, I'm praying the word. I'm praying through the word, right? So I have a hopeful expectation that it's not going to return void because the word tells us that his word will not return void. It goes out and it performs that to which and by which and to whom and through which it has gone out to perform, right? So it does not return to us void. It certainly won't return to our Father void. So with that, and praying through the word, I've definitely seen some shifts, not only in my attitude, my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, my physical health, right? Sleeping better, eating better, focusing, just the focus alone with not having to share synapses, brain synapses with anything else other than the things that bring me joy. The things that foster protecting the greatest gift that we were left with besides eternal security, which is the peace of the Lord. Protecting that peace, protecting that joy. He died, he suffered, he was tortured, and he was buried for our peace and our joy. And our full redemption, right? To be complete. And of course, we have struggles and we have setbacks and we have, you know, trials and tribulations in which we are instructed to consider it all joy, right? When we suffer diverse trials and temptations, because it works patience. And what's patience has her work in us. It's perfected. We're matured through that process. And some things, though, are just self-inflicted, right? And so for me, you guys do as you please, but for me personally, I have been under an enormous amount of very, very malignant attack, very hateful, mean-spirited attack, just lies about me, my person, my business, my ministry, everything. I mean, it's been pretty bad for a little over a year now on Twitter specifically. So, you know, I'm certainly no stranger to conflict being in media, particularly as a conservative personality. However, this is a whole other level. And to be quite honest with you, these attacks have not come from who some of you would refer to as the left, as liberals, as the people who have historically aligned with censoring probably a little bit more than people on the right. But here's a really horrible fact. You ready? People on the right have become exactly what they say they hate about the left. And I am ground zero living example of that being unequivocally fact. It's undeniable. And many of you see that. I'm not the only person who's borne the brunt of the right completely losing ground by virtue of just decency, of decent discourse, of the ability to host others who are not like them without completely becoming them, right? Or without hating on them. So things have become very siloed. I'm very proud of the fact that, in a humble way, of course, that I have a DM group on Twitter that is comprised of probably close to 60 people, of whom I know all of them. I follow them. They follow me. We've had some type of personal interaction on some level. Some of them are major personalities. Some of them are former Congress members. Some are current legislators. Some are moms, housewives. Some are sick. Some are healthy. Some are Christians. Some are Jews. Some are patriots. Some are fed up. Some are liberals, very much so left-leaning. Others are MAGA, conservatives. I mean, they're across the board. We've got feds in there. We've got, when I say feds, we've got DOD folks, we've got law enforcement. So, and I'm so proud of that group. I'm proud of that group for a number of reasons, because it's almost been like a petri dish. It's been like a petri dish of different personalities and people, different persuasions, different ethnicities, different cultures, different belief systems, ideologies. And what you find is that what people say they are not, they actually are. They've become extremely tribalist, right? And with that, there can be no dissenting opinion, even from those within the same paradigm, okay? Very dangerous. Very dangerous ground. So I have historically monitored that. Now I have we call her the room mom. She is monitoring that in my absence, but I'm very proud of that group. We've lost a few people, maybe 10 people, just by virtue of some scuffles that we've had along the way, or whenever people insist on not following the rules, which is we do not berate others because they're not voting for Trump or they didn't vote for DeSantis or, you know, or they happen to be liberals or whatever. We just, there's a zero tolerance policy for hatred of Jews. We're not a bunch of Christian nationalists either. You know, we love our country, but we're not in there plotting, burning down the country. You know, there's certain discourse that I won't tolerate. And so because of that, we fight like family. We make up like family. Some people leave and then I bring them back. Right? Because people don't know how to behave and they don't know how to handle conflict and they don't like it. But once we work our way through conflict, we're cool. We're good to go. We're stronger than we were before, right? Or not. So I want to encourage you to branch out, create some new DM groups for yourself, but make them around things that are positive, things that highlight the differences about yourselves with others. Right. And learn to celebrate those. And so back to the jewels that I realized that I had forfeited and the treasure chest that we have been given from our Savior, from our Father, through our Savior. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been given peace and joy. Right. Just to name a few, life more abundant. We've been given hope. Right. We've been given the gift of faith. And when you partake of the sewer long enough, it will 1000% diminish those jewels, those gifts that we've been given as children of God, who have every reason to hope. I mean, this is your season, right? This is resurrection season. And you Passover, resurrection, my gosh, though, I don't know why the Orthodox insist we're not having Greek Orthodox Easter this year until May 5th. That's right. We're going to share Cinco de Mayo. So it'll be lamb and margaritas. I don't know. But we're sharing that date. Normally it's not that far away from quote American Easter, but it is this year. So And you can look all of that up according to the Gregorian calendar and whose calendar is what and all that. So, and it'll tell you all about the full moon and Passover and so many full moons and all that. But I got to tell you, the thing that grieved me, that I had to take to Father in total humility and confession, and to ask for his forgiveness for just completely allowing my pearls, the pearls that he gave me, to be trampled asunder. He gave me those pearls. He gave you those pearls of peace and joy and hope. And if you find that you're on any platform, if you're a part of any group, whether it's digital or kinetic, it's in person, it could be your church, it could be your synagogue, where you guys are, excuse me, you begin to notice that you're just not yourself. There are things about you that are becoming muted, right? And maybe you just have a flicker of light left, and people are so hungry. God bless you guys, but some of my audience is so hungry for a semblance of light that they were willing to accept my little flicker of light that I had left. And that's really troubling. It troubles me as someone who takes my purpose, my calling, my job, my profession very seriously. And so it grieves me to know that people are so desperate for truth telling and tellers and for hope and for joy and for light and life that they will take a little bit of a flicker, because honestly, you guys, that's all I had left by the time I left. And I don't mean to make this dramatic, but I don't think you understand the cost that comes with taking hit after hit after hit after hit. And really, the particularly betrayal. When you've been betrayed by people you've aligned with ideologically, or at least you thought you did, for a number of years, and you considered many of them friends and family, and, you know, I mean, man, you're in the trenches together, right? And you realize that you realize whenever you bump up against people's sacred cows and they're not ready to face the fact that they too have sacred cows. We all do. We all have something that we're idolizing, something or someone. And it really does take consistent relinquishing and really self-observance, right? Where you just take some inventory, for gosh sakes, do some inventory on a regular basis as to what is it exactly that you're defending to the death. Is it Trump? Is it Ron DeSantis's campaign that's still on hold? Is it, you know, Nikki Haley as a female? Is it 2020? Is it your legislators on a state level, your congressmen and women, your senators? Is it your respective faith? What is it that you hold with a death grip that you would be willing? Is it, let me ask you this, is it your Bill of Rights? Is it your Constitution? I mean, honestly, we're told that all of the law hinges upon, you know, and I am combining here. I realize I'm combining patriotism with ideology as it pertains to faith, but I still submit to you, and I will always submit to you that a person's faith follows them into whatever arena they're a part of. Your faith will inform your vote. So if your faith is, you know, to live in an honorable and respectful and lawful society, then you're going to look for those candidates, and good luck with that, but you're going to look for the candidates who are, you know, most aligned with your way of thinking, right? And your way of ushering in legislatively. And to me, honestly, I think I cannot stress this enough. for people to realize that, listen, we could not even be kept by God's law. We could not keep God's law, like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ, we the God of all creation, the Father of all living spirits. We could not keep his law. Couldn't do it. Which is the whole reason for the season again, right? This is why you're coming up on Resurrection Sunday, if you're a Christian, right? And so if we couldn't keep the Creator's law, why are we surprised that people think the solution set to all of society's ills at this point is more law? I mean, just think about that. Does that even make sense to you? Of course it doesn't. So, for instance, in Georgia, we didn't abide by our own laws in 2020, our own election laws, our own constitutional laws here in the state of Georgia. And so people were so excited when the legislature gave them a couple of crumbs and made them feel like all safe and warm and fuzzy. And we're going to remedy some of the irregularities that we've had here in the state of Georgia. And I'm negative Nelly about it because I understand that we didn't abide by the first set of laws. So I'm not foolish enough to believe for a second that we're going to honor the second set of laws or the 100th. At some point, someone needs to, right? But at the rate we're going, it's kind of obvious that it was just kind of a bone that was given to voters to make you feel better and to hashtag move on. So some things aren't blackpilling. They're just a matter of human nature. They're a matter of prioritization. And whenever you see where people's priorities are, particularly on social media, it's a great petri dish. It's a great microscope. Lenses through which to see the absolute worst of what everyone is capable of. I'm not even kidding. And I say that with love. I don't say that with any malice at all in my heart. I have spent the past 7 days cleaning that out for people who have, I've named names in my prayer time. I've prayed for every enemy, quote, in air quotes, enemy I can think of, and that they would be blessed. Yes, even their groypers. If you don't know what that is, go look it up. That's a whole other show. So yes, people who have been downright vicious where I am concerned, I had to detach from them spiritually as well as emotionally, mentally. So there's been some serious house cleaning going on over here. So I want to encourage you to take the time to really do some personal inventory, because you all have some real gems as Christians that you have been given, and some of them are dusty and they need to be polished and they're just kind of muted, right? And some of you have forgotten that you even have them. And so I want to encourage you to pull up those dusty covers and, you know, all the dusty places. Maybe you've forgotten where you hid your joy. Maybe you've never really had joy. I don't know. But I can tell you this, if you're waiting on November to celebrate any semblance of joy, you are in error. I cannot stress that enough. Please do not wait until November to make a decision to live a life of gratitude toward the man who came here to redeem his Father's creation. And that includes you. I don't care if you're Jewish or not. It includes you, or Muslim, or whoever's listening. If you're an atheist or a Satanist, I don't care. He came to redeem all of creation, right? And so this is the, quote, Easter season, because it's total paganism. But this, I call it resurrection season. That's how I reclaim my ground for what season it really is. It's resurrection season. We commemorate the resurrection, not a bunch of Easter bunnies mating and Easter eggs and all that mess and Esther and, you know, your estrogen god and fertility gods and all that. That's not what we worship, the God of all living souls. So, of course, he said, go forth and multiply, not as rabbits. But some of you could probably maybe adopt that, you married folks who haven't really met up with your spouse in a very long time in your bedroom. Shame on you. So there's that. But it's been an interesting 8 days. And I got to be honest with you, I don't miss it at all. You know why? Because I have completely replaced that 67% of my time, my screen time that 1000% was taken up by X, Twitter. I've replaced that with enormous amounts of productivity and really learning some of the things that I need to learn, that I want to learn, whether it's about, you know, neuroplasticity, that goes along with my work, or it is, about finances, all kinds of things. So I found some great teachers and coaches and folks that I've aligned with now. So it's amazing the bandwidth that opens up, right? And just how productive you become. And I don't mean busy. I mean productive, because your heart is clean. Your mind is clean. I'm not spending my days defending an idea or the flag or the Constitution or, my faith, or no, I'm really not just a gold shiller, just stupid things that make no sense whatsoever to try and to defend, or on a much higher level of professionalism, defending others who just happen to vote like me, or believe like me, or think like me, or, you know, just the whole constant state of defense is very unhealthy. So unless you have a strategic offense, which people on the right historically do not operate in, offense, not to be confused with offense, but your offensive line sucks. I'm just telling you. Our offensive line as conservatives is not really an offensive line. It's defense. And people are hungry and they're thirsty and they're tired. So I have pressed more flesh in the past 8 days than I have in like the past year and a half, or if not more. I've had dinners with people. I've had lunches. I've spent full days with people. I've gone to places I thoroughly enjoy here, and businesses that I used to patronize, and supporting families, you know, in their businesses that I've supported in the past. I mean, it has been really awesome in the way of fellowship, and people from my fellowship have shown up in Georgia and spending time with them. I have the bandwidth for, you know, actually going to a side of town that I haven't been to in many, many years. Hanging out with people wearing Rainbow Coalition socks and watching their kids play, and, you know, people I definitely do not agree with on an ideological level, but who cares? Who cares? Hanging out with people who I know for a fact practice witchcraft, right? And their hearts are broken about certain things in life. And so wrapping your arms around them in compassion and mercy. I didn't have a Christian tract in my, hand to, or, you know, you really should give your life to the Lord. It wasn't the time for that. But that hug sure was timely, and something that person will not forget anytime soon. And knows that I profess to be a, quote, Christ follower, right? So I fully expect the opportunity to open up for that person to ask other questions, right? But I wouldn't have had the bandwidth for that. I just wouldn't have. Just frazzled, nerves completely shot. People lie about me. It's really remarkable. Apparently now the latest lie is that someone very well known backed out of funding my network. And I'm like, well, no, that person was never in line to fund my network, but okay. And so when you hear lies, okay, the word says that the words of a talebearer, otherwise known as a liar, go down into your innermost parts of your belly and cause wounds. And so it really can make you sick. Taking other people's sins into our bodies can make us sick. Other people's bitterness and lies, jealousy, envy, forked tongue nature, gossiping, murdering others with their tongue, right? All of that we take into our bodies. We can. Bitterness, unforgiveness, coarse jesting kind of stuff, just becoming callous. And all of those things take a toll on our spirits. And ultimately, you know, we begin to look like the thing and we seek solace in the world. We seek comfort from the world. And as we study today in our Bible fellowship, you know, in Romans 15, we're talking about our Father who is the consoler. He offers consolation by virtue of his comforter, his Spirit. Right? And that's not to say that we can't find consolation with humans, because we can. But there's nothing that substitutes God's consolation, his ability to console the weary and tired human. So with that, excuse me, I want to read something to you that I stumbled upon yesterday in my prayer time as I was praying the Lord's Prayer out loud. And I was thanking God for, thanking Father for my daily bread in the way of the Word, who is his Son, right? So I get to eat of the daily bread, who is Jesus Christ, who is the Logos, who is the written Word, who became flesh, right? According to John, 1 John, and, or John 1 and 1. But then I was like, I just want to thank you, Father, for your promises. And I want to speak your promises over my life, because as you begin to study more about brain synapses and what goes on in the limbic system, which is of special interest to me for a number of reasons. But when you study that, you begin to realize that, you know, Jesus was not kidding, as other quote prophets and other gurus, you know, and I know some people actually treat Jesus like a guru. I do not. But other folks who spoke in Proverbs, right? Other philosophers who were not the only begotten Son of God will tell you, is that as a man thinketh, so is he. Right? And so what happens though is that because of trauma, whether it's acute or prolonged, whether it's a great loss, it's childhood abuse, it's any number of things that can send, it's chronic illness, it's watching the death of a loved one, it can be a TBI, it can be an accident, but your limbic system is never far from taking the brunt of things that can put you into a pattern through your endocrine system and otherwise that is just not fruitful for your life, for an abundant life. Right? And it will lead you to addictions. It will lead you to despair. It will lead you to oppression and depression and not firing on all cylinders, right? And so the limbic system is hugely responsible for many things. And so I'm like, okay. And what you realize is that what you speak, what you think, what you speak comes out of the abundance of your heart, according to the Word. And what you think is who you are. It is ultimately what you will have. Self-fulfilling prophecies, by the way, people who keep ending up with the same kind of person, right? Those things are self-fulfilling. You on some level are looking for that exact same type of person. And ultimately, until you are healed of some component, right, that attracts you to, whether it's the narcissist, as you guys like to call people, I hate terms like that and diagnoses like that, because people just put people in diagnostic body bags and leave them there. And I don't like that, because I do believe that people can change. And I'm this is being proven through every module that I study on the limbic system and the ability for the brain to rewire and to refire and to remap itself by virtue of what you put in and what you put out. What you speak, what you ingest is very important to your brain health. And we have the mind of Christ, according to the word. And so if we have the mind of Christ, why doesn't our life reflect that? Why are most Christians in debt, you know, at their yin-yang? Why are most Christians bitter and hateful and scared? And they lack courage, right? And they're terrified of what's coming. They live in constant worry and doubt and dread and unbelief and sickness and death, division, separation, all the things that do not represent what our faith is supposed to represent, right? And so what we think and what we say have huge implications on our mental health and our actual lives, all right? And so with that, I was like, all right, Father, I want to speak your promises. I want to say it out loud. I want to meditate on it. I want to take it into my heart. And I want to not just name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, but, you know, I want to declare and decree from a position of faith, because he honors his word. His word will not return void. And he certainly honors faith. It is impossible to please God and to fellowship him without faith. And some of you could use a real faith infusion. And I know I could too, prior to 8 days ago. So I looked up God's promises, and I found this little website on Bible Study Tools. And I was looking up God's promises. And as I want to remind you of some of these. And I want to encourage you to take these on for yourself and to begin to take them in, to ingest them, and to ask Father to meet you. If you have unbelief, ask him to meet you in your unbelief and increase your belief, right? So you do, I know many of you do believe, but it's the areas that you have a hard time believing, primarily because of guilt, shame, confusion, double-mindedness, the things you've done in your past that you still have not laid completely on the cross and believe that you are 1,000% forgiven and to move on. And when we're in that place, it's very hard to believe that these words and these promises and these blessings are really for us as Abraham's offspring. Spiritually speaking, some of you are hating on the Jews, and I really want to, I cannot stress enough my caution to you and what it is you are aligning with that is absolutely a spirit of Antichrist. While you're waiting for the Antichrist, everyone thinks it's Obama, or God only knows. They've got this red heifer thing, and everybody trying to build the third temple, and people are scared that the eclipse is coming and Jesus is returning, and we're all in that. Psh, fine with me. Come on and get us, because this place is crazy. But, you know, I'm also not trying to be like a this life fatalist. But I'm making sure that me and mine are living in faith. Our eyes are up. Our lamps are full. And that, you know, we're not going to be left in the dust, much less behind in this crazy world where people will want to die and they won't be able to. And if you know anything about AI at all and where it's already, where it is already and where it's headed, you know that we are coming into a generation where people will not die. I'm in conversation with a person on Instagram who has equipment right now in California that is works on longevity in ways that would blow your mind. Blow your mind. And so people will want to die and won't be able to, right? Well, no thanks. I don't want to be here for all that. Neither do you, hopefully. But in the meantime, we have the promises of our Father. And so as I'm reading through these, I read them in first person, right? And so Isaiah 41 and 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," who is his word. It's his son, right? Remember, Jesus is the Logos, came in the flesh as the word, and the word became flesh. Go read the book of John. So if you're reading through that for yourself, this is how I read through it. So Monica, do not fear, for he is with me, right? And do not be dismayed, for I am your God, Monica, right? This is what he's saying to you personally, right? I will strengthen you, Monica, and help you, Monica. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, Monica. So that could be to you, Jeff, or Michael, or Bob, or Steve, or Sandra, or Tiffany, or whomever. That's for you. Put your name in there. Make it personal, because it is personal. These are promises to all of us as Abraham's covenant. We're part of that. That's why I'm warning you about understanding who it is you're hating. Understanding what it is geopolitically you're being sucked into. And I don't want to hear this mess about the Jews murdered Jesus. Nobody murdered Jesus. He laid down his life. Please quit repeating those lies. He laid down his life, and it does matter, because he chose to go to the cross. He asked three times for that cup to pass, sweating as drops of blood, while the people he counted on and loved and poured into and invested in for 3 years slept. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you." So my prayer was, Father, thank you for keeping me in perfect peace because my mind is steadfast and because I trust you. That is my promise. The peace that surpasses all understanding is what Jesus said. Amen? So that's mine. That is my daily gift. That is my moment-to-moment gift, is perfect peace no matter what. Deuteronomy 31 and 8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." Monica, Jim, Stephanie, Yolanda, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid," John. "Do not be discouraged," Melissa. Right? This is for you individually. Put your name in there. Verse 33, "Have I told you these things so that," John 16 and 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Right? This is our territory. So thank you, Father, that you've told me through your word that in your word, I have peace, and that I will have trouble in this world, but I can take heart because you have overcome the world. Here you go. Some of you are trying to figure out what to do with your lives. Psalms 32 and 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you." He will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. He will counsel you. And with his loving eye on you. Some of you don't feel seen. You don't feel heard. You don't feel like your life matters. You don't feel understood, primarily by your own family, your friends, people who, you know, you would hope and you would think would have your back, or they would love you and forgive you, and they can't, or they won't, or whatever. The devil uses them over and over and over again to just keep you nailed to your own cross, set up a shrine to your sins of the past. I mean, it's a mess, right? And, excuse me, we're not called to live under the curse of our sins of the past, much less our sins of the future. And so if you've confessed your faults to our Father, he is faithful and justice is executed to forgive according to the word, and to cleanse and to wash you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So who are other people to hold your sins against you? That's then between them and the Lord. And sometimes, yes, our behavior does have long-term consequences, and we have to have compassion and mercy for people because sometimes they're just in bondage and they're ensnared and they're entrapped and they cannot let go of what you did to them, what you didn't do to them, how you neglected them, how you chose other things or other people or addictions or whatever, you know, and you can't undo it. But you're not called to become hyper-religious to undo it. You're not called to be a perpetual martyr to undo it. That is not godly. That is not what we're called to do. Amen. And so we're not called to set up our own idolatrous, you know, shrine, much less allow other people to do it. So, you know, this Easter, give yourself a gift. How about this? This is a freebie. Take yourself down off of the cross of Christ and just be grateful that your sins died with him and they were buried and you have now been resurrected with him. And you're not supposed to be carrying around the dumpster lawn bags filled with all of your poop of days past. And if other people want to carry around your poop bags, then let them carry it. But I would encourage you to pray that they are set free. Don't argue about it. You don't have to host a family meeting over it or a company meeting or, you know, you don't have to go back to just, no. I really want to stress that. I know some of you are struggling with that. And I've certainly lived through part of that myself. Okay, here we go. Psalms 37, 23 and 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Some of you stumbled and you fell into like a pothole, right? Or a ditch. But you didn't fall off the cliff, even though some people may wish that you did. You didn't, right? You didn't go over the cliff because he came to get you. He left the 99 and he came to get you just like he promised that he would. But they're built in this law, built in the new covenant is daily new mercy. It's the sure mercies of David, right? So daily his mercies are new. Every morning his mercies are new. We tend to not operate on that level. I could go on and on with these promises that are over here in what I just read to you because there's multiple promises, but it is so beautiful and liberating and encouraging. You can encourage yourself in the Lord is what the Word tells you to do. Stir up your gifts. Encourage yourself in the Word. You can do that by pursuing the Word, seeking the Word, receiving the Word for yourself, speaking the Word over your life, your brain, your heart, your body, your bank account, your friendships, your family, your life, everything around you will begin to change. It may be slow rolling, and the change may only be with you for in certain areas of your life for a season, but I promise you, it will change. And you know how I know? Because the Word says again, it will not return void. And it will perform that which it is sent forth to perform. So please don't lose hope in your families, primarily your families and your friends and know your churches. Just know this, people are people. And most people are so ensnared and they have no idea. I was so ensnared by self-defense, by heartbreak, by betrayal, turning into bitterness, turning into just complete rage and anger, because I was so tired and fed up. My joy was robbed. My hope was robbed. My peace completely robbed. And by the time I realized that I was giving away, I was forfeiting that which Christ died to give me, I had to make a break with those things. I had to cut off that arm that was offending me. I had to pluck out that eye that was offending me. The thing that was causing me to sin, the thing that was causing me to miss the mark and not live in complete gratitude and humility and submission to whom I say and profess I love and I believe in is counted to me as unrighteousness. It is sin, right? And so it doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't bear life. And we are called to bear fruit and to bear life. So I hope this encourages you. I hope it inspires you. Life is hard. It is hard for many people in this day and age. I don't know when Christ is returning. I don't know what's going to happen during the eclipse. I know the Biden regime is coming for your guns. I know that we're living under a totalitarian despotism, madness, Marxism, fascism, all the isms. I know that, right? But I cannot afford to focus on that any more than you can, because my creativity is stifled. So is yours. Ideas do not come to me. I cannot hear him through all of the chatter, all of the screeching of the voices of the world. And the only voice that matters ever, much less in the season we're in and in the era that we're in as a civilization, the only way through is to press in to he who knows all, who loves all, who forgives all. With that, I also want to say congratulations to those of you who have alerted me to the fact that you made the decision to actually move and cover your assets. Good for you. For those of you who haven't, I would highly suggest that you take 5 minutes out of your day, fill out a little form with your name on it, and inquire. Totally free to do. No one's going to press you or blow up your phone 100,000 times or emails. Totally free to do on how you can protect your assets during this time of economic volatility, which in my humble opinion is not going to, those waters are not going to recede anytime soon. But when transitions do happen economically and monetarily, you want to be in the best, most favorable position possible with your finances. And one way to secure them is through things that we know have historically held their intrinsic value, which is gold and silver. So please check out MonicaProtectsWithGold.com. Obviously, the Holy Spirit protects, but that's just my, it's called a vanity URL, which is what they call it in the business. Kind of interesting. But I do want to encourage you to be wise and to simply seek out ways to protect that which is yours, so that moving into things that are new and new systems, that you are not going to be left with a 401k and or Roth IRA or a savings account that has been depleted, whether it's because of, I don't believe we'll have a complete dissolution of the U.S. dollar, but I do believe that we could have a diminishing of the value of the dollar to the point where you can look at our brothers and sisters in Venezuela and see just how detrimental it went literally overnight. It became to their ability to their buying power, their purchasing power was basically diminished overnight. And that can happen here. There are things in place that would signal that that can happen here. So there's no fear. There's no panic or craziness, you know, hysteria. But I do encourage you to inquire and see, you know, exactly where the Lord wants you to protect what you've worked very hard for. And, you know, he afforded you the ability to do it. So he's also affording you the ability to think for yourself and inquire and reach out to people who I believe you can trust. Otherwise, I would not have my name associated with them. You can sign up for my newsletters at monicamatthews.com. Again, I do not inundate or flood your inbox with a bunch of things, but we do have some really cool things that are unfolding with Thirst Entertainment Network, and I look forward to including you in that. In the meantime, I love you guys. Have a blessed evening. And remember to be good to your neighbor, beginning in your own mirror. And if you're an American, act like one. I just